most varsity sports fans. We are back after a week-long absence. Apologies for that, by the way. We had some technical difficulties. As always, we are trying to, I don't know if everyone saw our tweet, but we're trying to find some IT people out there to help us out. We have some buddies trying to help us out here, and we're trying something new here. So hopefully this doesn't sound too bad. You guys can deal with this. Get some good info and enjoy your commute on your Thursday and Friday mornings. But as always, I am one of your hosts, not so little John, by my cohort, Angel Steve 89.
And we're back! That was my Harry Carey impersonation. But sorry for that last week. I don't know what the fuck happened. Whatever we were doing just stopped working. So now we're just trying to figure this out, and hopefully it's recording. But we had another good week in sports, and I think we might as well just kick it right off into, we're doing this late Wednesday, so the Cubs-Indians just finished game two, and we have ourselves a series here. It's 1-1. Jake Arrieta came through and pitched a no-hitter through six, and we got some baseball here for the final weeks of the season.
Jake was good. He was paint players, let me tell you. We obviously didn't talk about the first game either, so I just want to come out here and say Kluber looked like an absolute stud in game one. Absolutely unbelievable. If he pitches like that, then the Cleveland Indians are actually going to make this a series. Seeing him be able to get two games out of him, if he pitches anywhere near how he pitched in game one, I could see the Indians taking at least two and sending this to six, so... I thought this was going to be Cubs in five, but I don't know about that.
No, I'm on all board on the Indians here. I mean, the way that Kluber pitched was unreal to be able to silence that lineup, even with Schwarber back. I don't even know if he's got like a bionic leg going. But if you're Terry Francona, you're pitching Kluber game four and game seven. And, you know, if that works out, you go Kluber for six innings, then Andrew Miller for two and Cody Allen for one. And that's three wins there. So all you have to do is somehow – sneak out one win out of the next four, and you're World Series champions. So I mean,
you're telling me you're going to get three games out of Kluber?
Terry Francona already came out and said it. He's pitching game four and seven.
Oh, God, that's unbelievable. This is actually going to be a hell of a series. I'm excited. Cubs look good tonight, too.
Yeah.
Bats were alive. Schwarber is unbelievable to come back and doesn't miss a step. Two RBIs tonight, I saw, and a run scored.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think? How do you take that bat out of the lineup now for the next three games? I mean, he's not cleared to play the field, so I mean, you're going to be able you got to talk to the doctors and get this guy on the field. You can't get one at bat out of the next three games for him. That's going to be a waste, especially after seeing what he did, you know, past two games. I think he's got four hits in two games, and he looks like he hasn't missed a beat, which is incredible that he's, you know, hasn't faced live pitching in 6 months, and here he is in the World Series. It's pretty nuts.
It looks like we're actually going to have to deal with a Schwarber pinch hit, which is, let me tell you, that's going to be awesome TV.
Yeah, I mean, so the Major League Baseball is going to have a great end to their season, but then kind of transition that right into the NBA. It's time for basketball again, and we had our Knicks kicked it off with the in Cleveland with the getting destroyed by LeBron and the Cavs. They look like they're ready to put together a title defense, and then out in the in Golden State, the losers of the championship got smoked by the Spurs. I did not see that coming. So as one season has come to an end, the next one is starting. And the NBA season is going to be exciting as hell, which is going to be odd because we kind of know how it's going to end with, you know, Lakers and Golden State probably.
You just said the Lakers?
I did say I'm watching the Lakers right now. It will not end with the Lakers and Golden State at all. It'll be the Cavs and Golden State, obviously.
Well, let me jump in right there. You said we get to watch our Knicks. Let's put the pump the brakes on that. Let's root on our Hornets over here. But you're right. This is going to be another fun season. Unfortunately, we all know how it's going to end. But like you said, it was pretty wild to watch the Warriors come out and get smoked by the Spurs. But this happened when the Heat joined forces with LeBron, Dwayne, and Bosh, and they didn't gel at first. I'm anticipating that to happen again. You're going to have like 15 games, 20 games, where they're going to play like 500 basketball. So if you guys locked up that under bet, I think you guys are probably going to cash that in the first half of the year just based on them working out the kinks. What do you think about that, Steve?
I mean, yeah, they're two talents that's not do well, but I mean, I used to love rooting for the Warriors, you know, late night TV during the weekend. It was tough watching Kevin Durant be on the Warriors. It really kind of made me hate Curry and the whole team, and then made me hate Durant more, which is kind of weird. Like, they went from, you know, LeBron being the most hated person in all of sports to all of a sudden you have two of the more likable guys and Curry and Durant teaming up, and now the roles have kind of switched. And people, like, wouldn't mind if LeBron beat them again. So it's strange how the NBA kind of flipped on itself with its star players. And I kind of get the feeling, for some reason, I always get the feeling with Kevin Durant in that jersey of from the movie Miracle, when they bring in, like, the guy from Minnesota who, like, doesn't mesh with the team but is so talented. And, like, they're like, coach, you know, we're family. Like, get him out of here. And I feel like, you know, something like that might happen, you know, during the season. You know, you're like, mess with the greatest team ever. And, yeah, they got a great player. But it'll take some time to get used to it.
Yo, he's Adam Banks of Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, he's just like that too, yeah.
He's Adam Banks of Mighty Ducks. Everyone hates him first. He doesn't fit. But then they're going to end up winning a title. I mean, we all know how this story ends. They're going to win the title.
Yes.
But we should do an NBA preview show, because I think I'm a little more into the NBA this year than years past. Not even because of the star-studded Golden State Warriors and Cavs inevitable rematch.
The Super Team Knicks. I forgot about them.
What?
The Super Team Knicks. They'll be there.
Super Team Knicks will be there. The young, feisty Hornets will be there. But I think the second and third tiers of the NBA are going to be pretty exciting this year.
Yeah, and I think we're definitely going to try maybe get our buddy the Spean Doctor on here, a big Celtic fan, but also a great knowledge of the NBA to kind of do a little preview of what we can expect for this season. But it'll be exciting, and it's good to have, you know, multiple sports on every day. And then the other, you know, the final sport to round out our kind of recap here would be the Rangers in hockey. And they put a beatdown on the Bruins today, 5-2, and they look good. They look young and fast, and I don't think the optimism was great going into the season, but, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks in, and I'm all aboard the Ranger train, being right on track.
I'm not going to lie. I'm jumping on board, and I'm not happy about it. Starting off the season 5-3, we really couldn't have asked for a better start to the season. It helps getting a rookie Bruins netminder to get a nice 5-goal unanswered, or 5 unanswered goals tonight, which is obviously nice. But I think this team is very good. They're very talented. They're very young. They're very fast. I'm just being cautiously optimistic about this team. I know you're all aboard. I think the inexperience is there, and that scares me a lot.
Yeah, I think that's what's it's finding that balance of if these young kids can really mature on the fly here, and then they have, you know, the team leaders of McDonough and Lundqvist to kind of help that through. But if the young kids can produce and stay healthy, this is going to be a team that's going to be right there for the Metro Division title. And then just, which is, you know, all you can really ask for, just get in the playoffs and let Hank do his thing. So we're pumped about the blue shirts here. And if you don't watch the NHL, this is the time to watch it. So many good young players to get in there. So much excitement. You know, speaking of just the NBA, we had, you know, two of the games last night were 30-point blowouts. And they were featured, you know, four teams that are supposed to be decent. So, you know, you don't really see that much in the NHL. You get competitive games almost every night. So make sure you're watching the puck.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Obviously the Maple Leafs are exciting, and Auston Matthews is doing his thing with his 6th goal of the year. But that team just can't play defense. They gave up 7 goals to the Lightning. And they may score or put up a lot of points this year, and Auston Matthews is going to be one of the top rookies in the league. But if this team can't find anyone to play defense, it's going to be an ugly, ugly season once again up in Toronto.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to what people come here for during these months of September and October, the college football.
It's not a hockey scene?
No, I highly doubt it, but it could be. just a quick recap of last week. You know, it was – there are two big upsets. Obviously, Penn State, Ohio State, which I was at, was the biggest upset maybe of the year. And then our golden team of Houston just continues to plummet and loses to SMU somehow. So those are the two real big games they need to focus on for bowl games coming up here. What other games do you see, you know, this week that stuck out to you?
Taking a look at last week, Boise State had a close call against BYU, but other than those two upsets that you mentioned, it was a pretty generic week in college football. Week 9 tends to be, it looks a little bit bigger when you look at the slate. Then you dive a little bit deeper, you see Michigan State, Michigan, you think, wow. Then you realize this Michigan State team is not what they used to be. They're a home 25-point underdogs to arch rival Michigan. I bet you wouldn't have seen that, or no one would have thought they would have seen that over the last couple of years. Penn State, their adopted team, has found its way into the top 25. Saquon Barkley looks great. He's almost got 700 yards on the year. We mentioned him in the preseason preview as a long shot high, but I don't think he's quite going to be there, but he's definitely putting on a show. And we'll get to some of my favorite picks for the week a little bit later, but Auburn Ole Miss is going to be a sneaky matchup to watch. And my Clemson boys going down to Tallahassee to take on the old rival Florida State Seminoles in what looks to be a big game in the ACC Atlantic.
Yeah, big time. I mean, going into the year, we thought this would be even a bigger game here, but those back-to-back losses for Florida State kind of ruined the luster for this one. But, you know, the past few years, this has been the go-to game to watch for all of college football, but it'll still be a great night game down at Florida State. And, you know, they'll be looking to try and play spoiler here and try and ruin Clemson's chances of getting back to, you know, to that national title.
Yeah, I don't – part of me, I was sitting back and gazing off it during my wonderful workday and trying to think about this game as a not biased person here. And maybe you can shed some light on it. If Clemson loses this game to Florida State, I honestly don't think Clemson's out of this playoff picture, because I think if they go on with one loss to a top 10 team and win the ACC title, I assume they still get in, no?
Yeah, I mean, which is kind of annoying. You know, college football always just makes it that, you know, every game's important, and if you lose, you're out. But now all of a sudden, it's kind of not the case anymore. I mean, we were talking about it, you know, offline about Ohio State. Like, that's a terrible loss to Penn State. But really, if they just come in and beat Michigan and then, you know, they win the conference championship, they're right there too. So that loss doesn't really matter as much as you would expect and, you know, have that important impact. So I kind of wish it did matter a little more. But yeah, you're right with Clemson. They're doing the – as long as they win the ACC and they don't blow it again, like how important really is this game?
True. I mean, as nice as it would be to see a 16-0 season for the Clemson fans out there, I'm sure it would be just as nice to be 15-1 and those 15 are end with the two that matter in the playoffs. So it's nice, but I really don't. The playoff has taken a little bit of the luster out of the every Saturday meaning something.
Yeah, definitely. All right, before we get into, you know, what's the hot soup picks of the weeks here, let's hit them with a couple segments here and bring back the popular highly recruited, highly educated, where we find out what college and sometimes pros athletes have done that are just does not make sense if you're an athlete to keep doing it. So for mine here, I got Georgia linebackers, a junior and a sophomore, kind of calling a little narc on their RA here, called the cops because there was a smell of marijuana in the hallway and obviously suspected that it was these two kids. And they're probably right, let's be honest. It probably was these two kids. But the cops searched their room and they found no testable quantity of marijuana. So they were off the hook and then they could play this week. To me, it kind of smells like these cops might want to make sure Georgia has two of their linebackers in for this Florida game here. Georgia has struggled, and they're outside the top 25 now, but a win here versus Florida could kind of really help their season here, and it seems like they may have gotten some help from the cops on this one. So luckily, my highly recruited, highly educated boys in Georgia will still be on the gridiron this week.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to play devil's advocate here. But you're in college, for Christ's sakes, right? I'm assuming they're not the only ones with weed in their room. So maybe these guys weren't actually at fault here. Let's just play that
card
for a second.
Sure. Let's play that card. I mean, I was fine. We can go with that. But, I mean, the line, not a testable substance amount was found. Like, that means they clearly found something and just didn't think that they could test it. So, like, that was the line that kind of threw me off here, that the cops were kind of like, all right, let's just move along here, and, you know, there's nothing going on here, which it should have. I guess college is fine. Like, come on, don't be a dickhead RA here and call the cops. You know, you're an RA. You're supposed to go in there and be like, yo, guys, cut this crap out. Not like, hey, I'm going to dial 911.
Absolutely. And like you said, they're out of the top 25. Their season's kind of unraveling a little bit. But I bet if you told me at the start of the season, you, as a Georgia fan, your year would stink. But you get a nice win at the world's largest cocktail party against your arch rival, Florida Gators, to derail our SEC title hopes. I think they'd take that in a heartbeat. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little fishiness here.
Yeah. You got one for this week?
I do. My highly recruited, highly educated of the week comes from the wonderful LSU Tigers. I'm not going to lie, I've been swept up in this team. Coach O, they're finally playing up to the potential that they have. But, unfortunately, a DB with a big mouth by the name of Dwayne Thomas, he's a senior DB at LSU, he had to go and open his stupid mouth and start talking trash about the Alabama offense. They're setting up for one of their biggest game, or the biggest game of the year. LSU controls their own destiny, as we talked about in the past. If they win out these games, they're going to win the SEC. And now you go and put literally the biggest target possible on your back and start picking and poking at big bad Alabama. That was possibly the dumbest thing you could have done. And I was going to make a big upset prediction in 2 weeks, and this does not help me at all.
Yeah, not what you want to do. I mean, nothing like poking the bear on an Alabama team where their, like, lowest margin of victory is 19 points. And that includes, you know, like, two wins over, like, top 15 teams. I mean, they put Texas A&M behind the shed last week. And so, like, come on, LSU. Like, you don't need bulletin board material here for maybe one of the best defenses we've ever seen in college football. So not the smartest thing for LSU.
Oh, no. It's the dumbest thing ever. And listen to the quote. I just feel like this is the year. We've been letting them off the hook for the last couple of years. This is my senior year. We're going out with a bang. I feel like we have the edge to take it to them. We're going to take it to them. And it's not because and I feel like we're just going to dominate this game. It's unbelievable that he was stupid enough to give them bullets earlier. I'm very unhappy.
All right. So there's our two highly recruited, highly educated for episode 9 on this one. And then our last segment before the hot soup picks are, I got a reason why we hate Notre Dame. So this one was new to me and you when we were looking it up. I had, you know, double fact checked because it just kind of seems silly, but this is true. So back in the day, Joey Theismann, as we all know him, was playing for Notre Dame here, and his last name is actually Joey Theismann, and the Notre Dame, like, AD and publicity team was like, yo, you should change it to Theismann so it rhymes with Heisman, and you get that super cool Theismann for Heisman type crap. And, I mean, I'll be honest, it is a lot kind of cool, but you got to win the damn Heisman. And Joe Theismann did not. He lost out to Jim Plunkett. You know, two-time Super Bowl winner Jim Plunkett, but Theismann's got to win that if he's going to change his name. And he never changed it back, of course. He still, you know, goes down as a great quarterback that everybody knows of Joe Theismann. But that's not even his name. So that's the reason this week why I hate Notre Dame.
I love it. I can't even make fun of him anymore. 2-5. They got Miami this week. I think they're going to lose again to Miami. So this team, very bad. We'll see if Brian Kelly keeps his job after this year.
Yeah, and for our over-unders here, we're banking big on a Miami win versus Notre Dame. So this is
would be double sweet for us this week.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so there's our weekly segments here, and let's hit them with the hot picks of the week. So here's our hot soup week episode 9 picks of the week. All right, John. First up, we got the undefeated West Virginia team. Who the hell are they playing? I'm sorry.
Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State. Oh, there he goes. I had it saved here as your name all in one word. So it just says John Vaccaro State plus WV. I was like, I have no idea what any of this means.
Nice, that does make sense.
Yeah. So, all right, Oklahoma State getting four at West Virginia. What are your thoughts on this one?
I think this is the perfect time, and I know we've been talking about it over the last couple of weeks. I think West Virginia is a very good team, probably the crop of the Big 12. Everyone's fascinated with the Big 12 team in a long, long time that is slowly being recognized for their defense and not their offense. However, you're going on the road to Oklahoma State. For Oklahoma State, that crowd is not a quiet crowd. They're going to be rowdy. This team has nothing to lose here. You got a man in a coach getting 4 points as a home dog. They're a live underdog. Mason Rudolph throws the ball all over the field. They're going to score a lot of points. They're going to be able to keep up with this team. I'm going to take the 4 points and the outright upset with Oklahoma State at home getting 4 points again.
Ooh, all right. We didn't go over that upset in the pregame here, so I like it. We got some specialty picks here. So a little 2-for-1 on West Virginia. John, not high on the Mountaineers.
The upset hot 2-5 for 7-0. That's a full bonus.
All right.
Get your beat wet.
All right, moving on. Number two, we got the boys of Navy taking on South Florida. What are you looking at there?
I know, and I want to love Navy so much. I want to get behind this team. They come out great. Obviously, they had big wins earlier in the top 25. It's great to see a service academy in the top 25. However, I just think they're about to run into a wall that is the South Florida Bulls. Quinn Flowers is back. He was a little banged up last week. He's back. He should be healthy. I think this offense is too good. I think they're going to be able to keep up with Navy. I think South Florida is going to get enough stops to keep Navy's offense in check. They're going to score a ton of points. And I think this is the perfect time, while everyone is extremely high on Navy, to jump right off. Navy's coming in 5-1. They just won a big game against Memphis by 14, and then they beat Houston the week before. Navy couldn't be any higher in the public's eyes. I'm going to jump off that train, go with the home favorite, swallow the 6.5 points, South Florida Bulls.
Nice. All right, coming up on number three here, you got a line that you said smells a little fishy. We got Texas playing Baylor. What's going on with Mark Strong and his team?
This is the stereotypical Afro man walking through the fish market. Smelly line. Texas is +3. Against an undefeated Baylor team. Texas has looked absolutely awful as of late. They came out to beat the Notre Dame team to start the year, and everyone was high on Texas. Everyone later saw that Notre Dame stinks this year. Texas is now 3-4 and can't buy a win. This team isn't that good. However, at home, they're able to score points. People tend to forget that their home and away splits are absolutely unbelievable. Baylor's coming in. They haven't played a real opponent all season. This is going to be their first true test. Texas at home won 27-6 against Iowa State. They put 40 against Oklahoma. They barely missed an upset there. They beat UTEP 41-7 and beat Notre Dame 50-47. So they score points at home. I think this is going to be the test for Baylor. I think Baylor's not going to be prepared. I think they're going to slip up, take Texas +3, and I'm calling for another 12 upset.
Very nice. Could this be a game that, you know, saves Strong for another year, or do you think he's still going to get dumped out there for possibly another new coach?
If they can win this game and put a nice little run together at the end of the year and win 3 or 4 of these next 5, then he'll stick around. If he can't, then I think he's going to be on a mega hot seat, especially with Houston losing 2 games here, not moving into the Big 12. I think you could see Tom Herman making a jump within the state of Texas.
Oh, I was going to say maybe a Les Miles appearance down in Big Texas.
Ooh.
But we'll have to wait till the end of the year for that. All right, the fourth hot soup pick of the week is our aforementioned Houston boys here versus UCF here. We got the biggest spread of the week that we're looking at. What are you thinking?
I absolutely love Houston here. I think this offense is still very good. I think they came out and lost a very, very tough game to Navy, but really took the wind out of their sails. After that, they barely squeaked out a win in Tulsa, and then they lost to a bad SMU team. I think this is the week they get everything back on track. Yes, better luck next season for a wonderful Houston team. However, this team is planning to keep their head coach. They want to keep Tom Herman around. They still want to be able to say they won 10 games, which is huge for a program of Houston size. Greg Ward Jr., he's going team on his back. UCF Knights are a bad, bad team. The offense is going to be back on track for the Cougars. UCF's not going to be able to keep up. This 10 points is going to be an easy cover. I'm expecting Houston to win by 20 points.
Cool. Very nice. And then rounding up here, I think this one's kind of becoming your maybe your signature bet here. We got a San Diego State first half over-under here. Where have we seen this before? Where are you going here?
We hit. We're doing it again. We're going right back to that same well. San Diego State first half under 21.5 is the play. San Diego State, they run the ball, they milk the clock. The defense is very, very good. And they're playing the Utah State team, who also runs the ball a lot. This team is going to do the exact same thing as we saw the last couple of weeks. They're not going to score a lot of points in the first half. They're going to run the ball. And then they're slowly pulling around the second. Same thing we called for last week. Same thing that happened last week. And it's going to happen again. I'm expecting a 17-3 first half or 15-7. It's going to come in right nicely under that number of 21.5. Get it before it hits 21.
All right. There we go. There's our there's the five special. Be sure to check out the site for full recaps and unit numbers for each pick and then a couple leans here. Just looking at the college football schedule here, we do have a couple big top 25 matchups that we haven't mentioned. The boys in Washington taking on Utah for a little West Coast action, number 4 versus 17. And then we got some Nebraska Cornhuskers out there in Wisconsin. So the Midwest has also got a big top 15 matchup there too. So make sure we got another busy Saturday coming up.
That Washington game is at 3:30. It's going to be an awesome, awesome game to watch. If you guys are college football fans out there and you want to watch a fun game, this is the game Washington is going to have to show you whether they're for real. Utah is a tough place to play, and I think that crowd is going to be riled up. Game day is going to be there. This is Washington's chance to prove that they're for real.
Nice. Yeah, I was kind of expecting this to be the old 10:30, 11 o'clock game, but 3:32 West Coast teams, and we'll make sure to check it out. And then switching up now to the big boys of the Golden Shield of the NFL here. We're going to hit you with the homer picks of the week. So we got a 1-for-1 last week. The Giants were able to cover out in London in probably one of the more boring games the Giants have played in recent years. But then we lost on the Jets. The Jets actually came out and got lucky that Geno Smith got hurt, and they got to bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick from Harvard University, and they were able to beat up on the Baltimore Ravens here. So I'll take a 1-1 split there. Still looking good on the year. For this week, the Giants are got a nice much-needed bye coming back over from the pond of London. And then we have the Jets at the Browns, which is undoubtedly the worst game of the week in the schedule here. I was a little torn on this one here because Cleveland is terrible, but I've been picking against the Jets for most of the year here, and I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to say Cleveland is going to be able to cover the +3, getting them at home. Fitzpatrick looks terrible. There's no reason to really watch this game at all unless you're on the homer picks. So let's give the Browns some action here, and then might even just take the Browns' money line here. They got to win one game this year, right? And the Jets are the team where they might be able to pull it out.
I was actually just about to jump in and say, why not money line here? This Browns team is not going to go winless. We all know that. And they are very, very bad. I can't see a real team slipping up to them. But with how the Jets have played this year, I would not be surprised if this is the Browns' chance to get that win. They're home. They're was it a 3-point spread right now, you said, Steve?
Right now it's 3, yeah.
Yeah, I think this is the chance for the Browns to get their win. I think they're going to come in hyped up. They know this is their chance to completely salvage at what would be a winless season. And I think this is the chance for them.
Yeah, and then just looking around the we got another London game with the Bengals playing the team in Washington early Sunday, and then obviously tomorrow night we got the seems to be the recurring game of the year of Jacksonville, Tennessee in those awful like mustard and then blue uniforms here. But for some reason it actually turned out to be an entertaining game tomorrow. But what other games are you looking at on the schedule this week?
First of all, I love the Titans-Jaguars matchup every year. So I don't know what you're talking about here. I'm a big fan of those blue color rush jerseys for the Titans. So I'll be excited to watch that right before I to take all those varsity sports down to Austin. Looking at the slate, I don't know. I mean, the Browns stuck out for me. I think the Patriots, Bills on, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. One of these weeks, the Patriots are going to screw the Packers, and I think this is the week. I think Buffalo is going to cover that at home, right?
Yeah, 6.5. I was kind of looking at that one, too. This has to be the one time that Buffalo can cover here, I would think, with the Pats. But then also, you know, Tom Brady has got – what was one of the stats? He's, like, thrown, like, 41 touchdowns and, like, zero interceptions in the month of October, like, the past 10 years or something. So this game still falls into October. So I don't know. With those numbers, I don't know how the Bills recover. But 6.5 is a lot for a division game, especially when you're at home. So that's when that stuck out to me. Looking else around the league, I think just kind of one game that I would just enjoy watching is going to be the Raiders-Bucks. You know, Jameis versus, you know, Derek Carr, two kind of, you know, future QBs for the league. And I expect a lot of points there, and it'll just be exciting to watch. You know, Raiders getting a 1.5 here, but I kind of like the Bucks, you know, at home with the Raiders having to travel. And, you know, pretty much almost like a Bucks money line bet there is something I'd look at.
Michael Lighty. There are some funky lines in the NFL this week.
There are. I was trying to pick out a few just to talk about right now, and
it's rough.
Yeah,
it's so rough. I think I'm going to go back to the well and give a little prediction and recommendation to lean on the San Diego Chargers. These guys may not know how to win, but they know how to keep every single game close. It's unbelievable. Every single one of their games, I feel that. I actually read a stat, and you're probably going to like this one, Steve. 16%, which is pretty high, 16% of all games in the NFL finish the score is a field goal. 3 points exactly.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that ridiculous? Why that three number is so key. And seeing some of these 2.5s out there across the board and the threes.
Tons of 2.5s and threes this week.
5.5. You got to jump on that, especially when it's used to playing close games.
Yeah. The only last one is, I mean, traveling to London kind of screws up everybody like we saw last week here. But I think the Bengals are much better than the Redskins, and they're only given 3 out there. I don't see how this Redskin team can kind of compete with the Bengals. But you never know with the travel. But those are another, you know, great week at the NFL. Hopefully the night game will be a little more exciting than the 6-6 tie that we saw last week, which kind of is like, I actually stayed up to watch it. It kind of turned out to be exciting just because they're just missing field goals left and right. But that's not the game the NFL really wants to have on the prime time. And, you know, shocker ratings are down when you have games like that.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. Most people hate that game. I think when you're getting kickers and listening to me field goals, it's phenomenal to watch. Obviously, you know that happened a couple weeks ago when I was watching the Clemson NC State game. They squeaked one out and missed a field goal that was a gimme. And it was absolutely riveting for me. So I can tell you that those fans are only into the seat for this one.
Yeah, there's a clip of the Cardinals kicker. What's his name? Like Costanzo or whatever. Just not even. Was that?
Chandler Catanzaro, he's a Clemson grad, the Cat Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's, like, not even watching the game anymore. He's so upset at himself that he just kind of blew this and that he doesn't even realize that Hauschka shanked the kick. Someone, like, comes up and taps him on the shoulder, like, cheering, being like, he missed it, and you could read his lips being like, no, he didn't. Like, he didn't even believe him. And then he, like, looked up. It was actually pretty funny. He was just, like, so out of it, wasn't paying any attention, and didn't realize that, like, the game ended in a tie.
Well, I kind of feel bad for him. I think if he misses it, he's going to be without a job because listening to that Bruce Arians quote, I think he's in big trouble. Telling him that he gets paid to make gimme field goals and he's got to make those.
Yeah.
That's a rough spot to be in.
Well, after that will lead us into our last segment of the week. I mean, well, we kind of perfectly rose into it. I think both of those kickers should make our almosts of the week. You know, two chip shot field goals in overtime to win the game. And, you know, like you said, you're paid to make those gimme shots. And both kickers for the Seahawks and the Cardinals both missed it. So I'm changing mine up last second here. And those are my two almosts of the week. Both of them almost won the game and would have been team heroes, but they were the team clowns of the week.
Oh, God damn it. You snuck that out, and that was going to be mine, you dirty dog. My almost. All right, how about this? I'm going to give you a little change up. It's not going to be a team. It's going to be, since we cater a lot of this towards our wonderful picks for the week, I'm going to cater this almost to all of the people that backed the Steelers against the Patriots last week. You were two missed field goals. Actually, you were two missed field goals in a row. And covering that nice 7.5 point spread that you're like not covering because the Steelers can't kick field goals either.
Yeah, so a full kicker edition here, the almost kicker. It's kind of like they're almost NFL players, but let's be honest, they're just kickers.
I had to jump in. Once I said you were the kicker, I had to pull out now.
All right, I think that kind of wraps us up here for episode 9. Hopefully this shit's recording on my computer and I can figure out how to get it posted by tomorrow. If not, it was nice talking to you, John.
It was a pleasure. Last hour, my friend.
All right. We'll see you guys next weekend.
Bye.